Romans 3:26.
In to, or te, anoke, tu, theu, pros, tain, endexen, teis, dikaiosunes, autu, en, to, nin, kairo, ace, to, ene, auton, dikaion, kai, dikaiunta, ton, ek, pisios, esu. Last week we were talking about how God set himself before publicly, before mankind. There were three verses that I did not finish on that last week that we need to look at a little bit. At least go back. John 1:1, John 1:14, and John 1:18. How God displayed himself. Let's just go there and look in the New Testament. And just read it in English. We'll correct it as we go. John 1:1. Can anybody quote that from Greek? N-R-K. What is it?
Is it
N-R-K. Ain hologos. Tai hologos. Proston theon. Thank you, brother. You're just coming right along. Tai hologos. Ein theos.
Nice.
Or you can put Tai ho theos. Ein logos. Either way, it's a predicate nominative at the end of that verse. All right? And how does it start off, Cindy? In what?
Mm-hmm.
In beginning. All right? Now that word in is locative singular feminine. It's in singular, in beginning. That's the oldest verse in the Bible right there. That's the oldest verse in the Bible because it goes back in time. In eternity past, before anything else was ever created, only when God existed. Locative singular. Now, in Genesis 1:1, it says, Barashith bara. In one of the beginnings, plural. In beginnings, plural. All right? That's when God, in one of the beginnings, the beginning of the heavens and the earth, that's what that's talking about. But here we've got the beginning of God. Way back there, when nobody but God existed. Only God existed. N-R-K, and then it's ain, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on being hologos. And the word logos there is what? That's a Hebraism. It's not a Greek idiom, but a Hebraism. It means in beginning kept on being Jehovah. The word there is the term that is used in Hebrew for the name of God. The name of God is what? This is it, if you want to write it down. That's it.
In the beginning was Jehovah, and Jehovah was with God. And
he kept on being an inseparable part of Godhead. An inseparable part. Tai hologos ein proson theo. All right? He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Jehovah did. Jehovah couldn't cease from being God. When did Jesus cease from being God? Never. He couldn't, could he? No. He couldn't cease from being God. Jehovah means what? What does that actually mean? Where is the first place in the Old Testament where... You excited about this, Brother John? Yeah, he gets excited about this. Where is the first place in the Old Testament or in the Bible that the root word for Jehovah is found? You don't have to go very far. Genesis 1:2. All right, Genesis 1:2. We'll go back to that in just a minute. We're not finished with that one where you are, Cindy. Genesis 1:2. Brother John, are you, who's over there? You there, David?
Which one?
Genesis 1:2. That's where it's found. What's your name?
My wife calls me stupid.
I thought it was skinny.
kidding.
Yeah. All right, read Genesis 1 and 2, Bill.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over
Okay, now that's all messed up in Greek. I mean, English, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. And the world, or the earth, Viharis, and the earth, Haya, she became formless and void. All right? The earth, she became. Now, that word, she became there, is where this word here comes from. Jehovah means who shall become. Okay? Now, over here last week on 325, we looked at how God displayed himself and made in his person the propitiation for our sins. All of those animals, sacrifices, all the way from the Garden of Eden, this side, all stood for the one who shall become. John 1 and 1. Cindy, go back to John 1 and 1 now. John 1 and 1. Yeah, read.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
All right. In beginning, kept on being. It's third person singular, imperfect indicative act. It's a continuous action. It doesn't stop. All right. In beginning, way back yonder, before anything was, God continued to be forever. Back then. All right. It says that the word there is Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being, it says, Kai ho logos ein proston theon. And the word, the Jehovah, kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. There, God is in the accusative singular masculine. The word theos is. Kai ho logos ein proston theos. All right? He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Jehovah couldn't cease being God, not even when he became flesh. John 1:14 now. Let's look at that. Brother David, without looking in Greek, tell me what it says there in John 1:14. All right. All right. Kai ho logos sarxigeneto. It's good when you can hear your students do that. Can you do that yet, Brother John?
You can get...
That's right, brother. That's good. Okay. Perfection. El perfecto. All right, Cindy, 1:14.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
All right, now hold on right there. Kai ho logos sarx again, and the Word, the Jehovah, sarx, flesh, he became. That's it. There's where we have the fulfillment of the Jehovah title right there. And what did he do? He became flesh and he pitched his tent. Tabernacle. Gene is the word there. He pitched his tent among humans. And he dwelt among us. All right? He pitched his tent and dwelt among us. We got a table here for you, young lady. And he dwelt among us. And what else happened there all through that verse? The whole verse again. Just read the whole thing.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. And the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, now John 1 and 18. That's the, on down a little further in that. Go ahead there, Cindy. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known.
Okay, it says in Greek, it says no one has seen God at all at any time, but the only begotten God. That one has led himself out. That's what it literally says. That one has led himself out. It says declared him, something like that in King James and some of the other verses. It'll just say displayed him, whatever. But it literally says he led himself out in middle voice. John 1:14, Kai ho logos sarx agenito. Agenito is aorist and middle voice. God brought himself into space and time. Now, Mary was a girl, wasn't she? She was a girl. That was a very common name of women back at that period of time in history. Okay, Mary. What does Mary mean? It comes from the Hebrew word mara. What does it mean? What?
Bitter.
Bitterness. Okay. Bitterness. Bitterness. That's what Mary. Now, you wouldn't want to name your daughter bitter if you knew what it meant, would you? I don't think. But back then, bitter. Okay? They weren't thinking about it. It was bitter. Mara, Mary. Okay? Now, God appeared, or actually, Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she was going to get pregnant. And she said, well, how in the world am I going to get pregnant? I'm married here, you know, almost, with Joseph, this old guy, but I have never been with him. And Gabriel said what to her? The Holy Spirit, or Spirit God shall overshadow you, and in you shall become. All right? Genesis 1 and 2. Who was reading Genesis 1 and 2 a while ago? Who was that? Are you still over there, Bill? Genesis 1 and 2. This is very important because we see the whole Bible, the whole plan of salvation in the first few verses of Genesis, people. It's there. Okay?
And the earth was without form.
No. And the earth, she became formless. Formless and void. Okay.
And darkness was on the face of the deep.
And what?
And darkness... darkness was on the face of the deep.
Darkness became over the faces, El Pene Tahom, the faces of the deep, okay?
And the Spirit of
and
God.
And Spirit, not the Spirit of God, it is Spirit God.
Spirit God.
Ruah Elohim. Ruah Elohim.
With mourning over the face of the water.
With mourning over the faces of the deep.
I added the mourning to
that's
God.
Right. Because it said means suffer and to mourn over. He was Spirit God. That's Spirit God. Now, did Spirit God ever do anything without Spirit Jesus? Did Spirit God ever do anything without the Father? When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, did the Father taste that death? Did Spirit taste that death? Sure. They experienced it. They experienced the suffering of the beatings. And of the cross and all of that, we know that they did. All right? That's what happened. Okay? So here we have all of these things. And we have all of this in those first three verses. We have Spirit God. Now, Spirit God, what did He do there? What does Spirit God do in Genesis first chapter? He reconstructed the earth. And then He made man in His image.
In our image.
Yeah, in His image, in His image, all right, in God's image. So, to do that, the reason why He did that in Genesis 1 and 26 is so that He could redeem the world. He could redeem the world. That's why He made it, so He would be related to the world. And by the way, in the Genesis there, it says that God created man, not from dust, not from dirt, but from the same elements that He created dirt from, which came from God. So man was made as He made the dirt to become dirt because he would die and his body would go to dirt. From the same elements you were taken and unto those elements you shall turn again. That's what it literally says as we looked last week, I believe. All right. So this is what happened. God, the plan of salvation was in Genesis, the first chapter. All right. The fulfillment of salvation is in John. Now we have the story of that fulfillment in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, God says that this is what happened. This is what happened. In the forbearance, anoke, all right? The holding back patience. That's what it says, anoke. All right? That means to hold back the God toward the indexing. All right? We get a word index from that word, index, the point, index. The showing forth, the shining forth, the pointing out, the index of the righteousness. We see in the law of Moses, we see righteousness, don't we? God's righteousness. Because nobody ever kept the law. Nobody ever kept the law. The righteousness of Him. In the now, in tonin kairo, in the... There's several words here that come from Greek and English, okay? One of them is chronos. Chronos means time. I think it says in time. King James, it says in time. I believe it is. But in the Greek, it says in season. All right? There was a season for the Son of God to be born. All right? There's a gestation period animals all have. they go through this gestation period. It's what we call a season, the gestation season. Okay? That's when their body, every woman's body goes through a chiral, a season. All right? It goes through a season. In the now season, and then we have the word ace. Now, remember that ace, page 119, if you want to look it up in the analytical Greek lexicon. What is the grammatical rule for ace? What is the grammatical rule? Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That one you've got to remember, people. This is very important. I drove it in. I remember when Ken Blinn went back to the Louisville, Kentucky Seminary. He went back there and he was taking baby Greek, he said. I teach Greek here. We teach advanced reading and research here. That's what we teach. Okay? This isn't beginning Greek. Even though you can learn Greek here, see what David's done over there with it. He can just quote it right from his head. You know, how long have you been taking Greek here, brother?
A long time.
Yeah. 7 or 8 years, something like that. You just hang around 3 years, you can read it. Even if you don't study at home. He went back there and he's quoting all these grammatical rules. His teacher didn't even know what he was talking about. Too far advanced for the class. Boy, he said, it's neat. He said, that made that class easy. Easy. All right, easy. Ace, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Now let's get the idea of the grammar in it. Of him in the now season, ace, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action, the to be him just and justifying. That's present participle active, accusative, singular, masculine. Justifying the one out of faith of Jesus. Now, Cindy, have you got that in Romans 3:26?
It was to demonstrate and prove at the present time in the now season that he himself is righteous and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus.
All right. By propitiation, that's how we become righteous. 1 John 2:2. Remember that verse. 1 John 2:2. Anybody over there? 1 John 2:2. That's right before the book of Revelation, you know. Not too far. 1 John 2:2. That's very important.
2:2, can we read it?
Yes.
The light was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life, which was with the Father.
Bill, you're in the wrong book. 1 John 2:2. 1 John, you're in the Kata Iwana. You're in John, the Gospel according to John. Okay. Have you got it?
They do, it's the Amplified.
That's fine. That's good.
2:2?
Yeah.
And he, that same Jesus himself, is the
propitiation.
Propitiation. The atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right. Not for ours only, but for the whole sins of the whole world. All of mankind. Jesus, his blood is sufficient for all mankind, but it will only be efficacious to those that believe. As plain as that can be. Jesus Christ died for all men, but he's sure it won't be applied to them. They will answer for not believing. All right? And then this propitiation is applied by believing. And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For in grace you are having been saved through faith." Now, where does faith come from? Didn't come from us. Come from God. It's a gift too. All right. We only keep the law by exercising faith in Christ. All right. 3:27 now. 3:27. Who? Un. Hey. Caucasus. Ek leste. Okay. Dia. Toyo. Nomu. Ton. Ergon. Uki. Ala. Dia. Nomu, Pistios. All right, let's go back there. Where, a little adverb of place, where therefore the the bragging, the boasting. Where, how are you going to boast? The Jews used to boast how righteous they were and how ungodly the rest of the world was. Why, the rest of the world didn't know how to keep the Sabbath. They didn't even know what animals were clean and unclean. Look down their noses. All right? Where, therefore, the bragging? It was completely shut out. Boy, look at that. Ekklesia. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative, and passive voice. Peculiar action. It was cut off completely and shut off. All right? The bragging is cut off and shut off. All right? Those Pharisees and the scribes and Levites, all of these think they had a very special place in God's eyes, and they did at that time. But the Pharisees even invented more laws than God put in his book. They invented a lot of laws that didn't belong in the book, because they thought they were so righteous that they could do more than what God required. What a joke. What a joke. Where, therefore, the bragging? It was cut off and cut short by the agency of what? Poiu. Of what law? Of the works? Okay? No. But, strong adversative conjunctive particle, that little olive there, through the law of faith. The law is proceeding from faith. Faith isn't proceeding from the law is proceeding from faith. Cindy, 327.
Then what becomes of our pride and our boasting? It is excluded, banished, ruled out entirely. On what principle? On the principle of doing good deeds? No, but on the principle of faith.
On the principle of faith. And the faith doesn't come from us either. Okay? 328 now. 328. By the way, Romans 2 and 17 and 23, 1 Corinthians 2 and or 1 Corinthians 1 and 29, and Romans 9 and 31, all cross-reference to 327. 328 now. Paul restates 3 and 21 is what he does in 328. He says something and then he says it again to emphasize it. That's basically, by the way, that's what we call logical thoughts, but it is a Hebraism over and over. What God did in Genesis, the first chapter, he explained in the second chapter. He makes a statement in the first chapter and then explains how he did it in chapter 2 in Genesis. They make a statement and then they confirm it. All right? Confirm it. All right. 328. Logizo metha. Gar, detai uste, piste, anthropon, choris, ergon, no move. All right. Acts 13:39, Romans 3:20, 14:14 and 21 and 2 and 3, 4, 3, and 8 and verse 18, and Ephesians 2 and 9, and James 2, 20, 24, and 26. This is all cross-reference to this little old bitty verse right here, this little short verse. We calculate. This is what Cindy does. You do math. You teach people how to think logically with math. Math and science go together. You can't think science without thinking math. Everything in the Bible, there's so many numbers in the Bible. There's a reason why they're there. That's mathematics. Every number means something, doesn't it? All the numbers in the Bible. We reckon, we calculate logically, first person plural present, indicative, middle voice. Look at that, middle voice. For we reckon or calculate to be justified, present infinitive passive, to be justified. How do you get justified? We're saved by faith and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're justified by His resurrection. See, We have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism teaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We're made righteous. We're justified. He died for our sins and raised for our justification. And then it says, piste in faith, mankind outside of works of law. Let's look at that one from the Amplified Bible. Who had the Amplified Bible a while ago? Who did you?
I did.
Oh, you have the Amplified Bible. You have the Amplified Bible too, don't you? Okay. 328. You want to read that for me?
For we hold that a man is justified and made upright by faith, independent of and distinctly apart from good deeds, works of the law. The observance of the law has nothing to do with justification.
All right. Has nothing to do with justification. That's right. Outside of works of law, no one is justified. Okay? No one is justified in them either. We're justified by faith. Faith is a product of believing in the law. And what did the law say? That God was going to become man. That all the sacrifices, that everything in the Old Testament law pointed to Jesus. That's what it said. And when he came into the world, the law was fulfilled. So if you really believe in the law, you believe in Christ. You believe in him. You have faith in him. As simple as that. And you cannot believe the law unless you have faith in Christ. Because the fulfillment of the law is Jesus. As simple as that. 329. We're going to get to the third chapter tonight, I think. A. Anybody say that next word there? Eudaion. Eudaion. These are children of Yehuda. That's how you say it in Hebrew, is Yehuda. All right? Or of Eudaion. Ho Theos. Monon. Uke. Kai. Ethnon. Ne. Kai. Ethnon. All right, let's look at this. Or, of Jews, the God only? Is God only the God of the Jews? No. We all go back to two people, Adam and Eve, don't we? Later on, we find out way over here, is Adam and Eve, and they have a bunch of kids. Okay? Those kids were, a whole bunch of them were destroyed, all except for Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Noah and his wife, Noah and Mrs. Noah. Then we come here and we have Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham is the father of all the, what we call the darker races. All right? Shem is the father of the Jews, and Japheth is the father of all the Japhethites. Okay? Japhethites. Now, from this period of time on right here, we look at Shem's descendants only, all the way through here. Then all of a sudden, God turns from the Shemites to the Japhethites to carry out the gospel, because the Shemites aren't doing their job. The Shemites didn't have faith in what they were given. They did not have faith. They did not believe the law. The law says that Jesus would come and fulfilled the law, and nailed it to what? His cross, basically. He nailed the law to the cross. He finalized it. He's finished. Filled up. Set it on fire. The purpose of the law was to point mankind to Jesus, to the fulfillment of the law. But they didn't. Are Jews of God only, not also the nations? Now, Rebecca, would you read that for me there out of here?
Or is God merely the God of Jews? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also.
All right, even the ethnic. We've got a word ethnic background. We've got a word ethnos. All of this comes from this Greek word nations, which there are, how many Jews do we have here tonight? Anybody? Anybody Jewish people? No? Well, we're all Jews by faith, aren't we? That's right. We're all Jews by faith. All Jewish. Yehudas. Can you say Yehuda? Yehuda. That's the word Jew. Judah. Alright. Alright, 3:30 now. Epe. By the way, that the first person, people to discover that this should be this way was Westcott and Hort, by the way. That's why that WH is there, I think. WH is for Westcott and Hort. Alright. Ace. Hothios. Hos. De Kai Use. Peri Tome. Ek. Pistius. Kai. Akribistion. Dia. Tes. Pistius. Okay. The word is sense there. That's a little enclitic particle, came from, basically A and Peri. That's where it comes from. Sense one, that word hase there, it's like the numeral one, one person. Sense one, the God. All right. Back in the Old Testament, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what?
One.
One. All right, he is one. One God. That's all. Sometimes people try to make God three. Father, separate. Son, separate. Holy Spirit, separate. They do make up the God. They make up the Godhead. But God is like you. You're three. But how many of them are there? You want to pull you apart, there's spirit, body, and soul. But without spirit and body and soul, you're nothing. You're not an individual of life. You're no individual of nephesh life. Zoe, you are not. Sense one, God. There we have a little relative pronoun, nominative, singular, masculine. See that word host there? Who shall justify, declare just, third person, singular, future, indicative, active, circumcision, out of faith, and non-circumcision, through faith. All right? Look at this. Shall justify the circumcision. The word circumcision means to cut around. That's what it literally means. It means to cut around. That is the act of circumcising. And out of the faith, and then the pointed ones. The ones that haven't been cut around or circumcision. Bill.
Now, translate that into my small mind here. We're talking the Jews and the Gentiles.
Yes.
The uncircumcised.
There is one pathway to God.
Yeah.
The law was supposed to lead mankind to God.
Yeah.
Faith in God.
Circumcised would be the Jews, the uncircumcised would be the Gentiles.
Yes. That's it. The circumcision or the uncircumcision, it doesn't make any difference. Cindy, you want to read that in that Amplified? Okay.
Since it is one and the same God who will justify the circumcised by faith, which germinated from Abraham, and the uncircumcised through their newly acquired faith, for it is the same trusting faith in both cases, a firmly relying faith in Jesus Christ.
All right. That's if you wanted to explain it. They did a real good job of that. 1 Corinthians 8 and 5, 1 Corinthians 15 and 15, Romans 8 and 9, Romans 10 and 12, 3:22, 4 and 11, 4 and 16, Galatians 3:20, and Galatians 3 and 8, and Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Basically, that's what Paul's quoting here. Who has Deuteronomos? What's Deuteronomos? Deuteronomy. Where does the name Deuteronomy come from? From the Septuagint. It means second law, or the second giving of the law. Deuteronomos. Okay? Your name, the word name comes from nomos. That's according to law, that's your name to you. Okay? Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Who's got that? Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. What does that one say? I'm going to see what this one says here, Rebecca. Yeah.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Jehovah our Elohim is one Lord.
The only Lord.
The only Lord. All right. That's who it's talking about. And he is the God that shall justify mankind. That's it. Period. There's no other way to be justified. No other way. 3:31. Brother John.
Just a question in verse 30. Why would I use a different word? The circumcision, the by faith, and the non-circumcision through faith.
All right, we have the word peritomein there. That means to cut around. And the other one means pointed. It hasn't been circumcised. All right, simple as that.
That's why they use by and through in the other one?
Yes. Uh-huh. Out of faith and through faith. Out of faith, well, the circumcision were circumcised by faith. They were added to all of the Jews. God gave Abraham circumcision to identify it. That is a sign of the covenant in the Old Testament. The sign of the covenant in the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant in the New Testament is not peritome. Matter of fact, Paul uses a term there which means to mutilate. Like the heathens mutilated themselves. We see that, and today they mutilated themselves with tattoos. They mutilated themselves with poking holes in themselves, putting saucers in their lips, or whatever you want to do in their nose, and all this stuff. They did all of this. They mutilated. They cut themselves. They would cut designs in their flesh. All kinds of stuff. Okay, that's what the mutilators would do. Paul starts using that term for the Jews. He says, no longer is circumcision a sign of the covenant. It is mutilation, like you are heathens now. The Jews have become heathens, mutilators. What is a sign of the new covenant? What? Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant. Right over here. And here is that covenant. It's right here. See, with Abraham. Okay, what was the sign of this covenant? What was the sign that God would never, never flood the earth again? The rainbow. The word rainbow comes from our iris. In Greek, the Greek word for rainbow, it means the iris of the eye. The colors. Color around the pupil. Okay? That was the sign of this covenant was the rainbow. And now we have over here, the sign of this covenant is circumcision. The sign of the new covenant is baptism. You're not going to mutilate somebody by baptizing them, are you? You're baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ because of it. Acts 2:38. Let's look at Acts 2:38. This is very, very important, especially to like the Church of Christ and all of those brethren. Okay, Acts 2:38. Let's see what the Amplified Bible says there, Rebecca.
And Peter answered them.
All right, now Peter, he stands up, and they ask him a question. What must we do to be saved? And Peter answers to all of them. To all of them, plural, he says what?
Repent. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner self instead of rejecting it.
Okay. And then each one that has repented.
Be baptized.
Okay. Everyone that has been, that has repented now, be baptized. All right. And there's that word ace there. Because of the forgiveness of sins. You're baptized not to get forgiveness of sin, but because you have been saved. All right? Because you have been saved. You're baptized because you have been saved. Very beautiful. All right. Verse 31. No move. Un katargumen. Next word, what's that? Dia. Taste. Pistios. Next word. Me. Genoito. Allah. You guys and girls are doing great. Nomon. Istanomen. Istanomen. Okay. Law, therefore, we destroy. Law, therefore, we destroy. For first and foremost, present, indicative, active. We destroy constantly the law. Dia. By the agency of. Dia. Alright? By the agency of the faith. We destroy, we tear down the law by the agency of faith. Alright? Not may it become. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative, optative. That is an unusual tense in Greek. That's unusual, or mode that is. Optative. All right? Not may it become. The idea here is a hopeful, hopefully it will. Hopefully it will. All right? But law we set up, we establish, we make permanent. The Mosaic law is only workable by faith in Christ Jesus, A.T. Robertson said. The Mosaic law is only workable by faith in Christ Jesus. Rebecca. That one in 331 in the Amplified. We've got two of them Amplified Bibles out here tonight. We're going back and forth.
Do we then, by this faith, make the law of no effect, overthrow it, or make it a dead letter? Certainly not. On the contrary, we confirm and establish and uphold the law.
Okay, how do they firm and establish and uphold? Are the Jews upholding the law today? Absolutely not. They are destroying the law. How do the Gentiles today uphold the law? Because we believe in the law and we believe in the fulfillment of the law. The Jews don't. The Jews will handle the law, they'll kiss it. I was over there at the Wailing Wall in 1975. In part even 76.
Did you do any wailing?
I wailed for those Jews. Yeah. I looked at that, and there was a bunch of idolaters. Brother Hubbard, or not Brother Hubbard, but Brother Madden sat there. He said, look at those damnable heathens. He's talking about the Jews. He said, look at those damnable heathens handling the Word of God like it's God and kissing it instead of kissing God. Kiss the Son lest he be angry. They were kissing God's law. They had made an idol out of God's Word. We study God's Word. We study God's Word. We do. We, the Word of God, teaches us about God. And it teaches us about ourselves and how we should handle ourselves in the house of God and before God. But it is not a thing of worship. It is a means of worship. Cindy.
Could you explain Mosaic law?
The Mosaic law is the law of Moses.
Okay.
The law of Moses. Okay? It's not like a Mosaic like that, but it's, Mosaic law is the law of Moses. The Jews worship the Mosaic law. They worship Moses. If you used Moses' name in vain, they would kill you. You died. They held Moses on equal level with God. Something wrong there. Moses was an anthropon. He's just a man. That's what he was. He was a man that God used greatly in his time. He was a great man of God, but what made him great was his faith in God. That's the only thing that made him faith. Made him great. Enoch was a great man of God. For 300 and something years he walked with God, but he was a man. Elijah was a... Elijah, his name means God is God, basically. Elijah, God is God. He was a man. Now, Enoch and Elijah were translated, were raptured, weren't they? That shows us that God can rapture us here. That's the reason why. You don't want to know why they were raptured? It's a type. It's a double type. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. That's what the Bible says. God goes according to his own rules, too. So, back over yonder, there were two people raptured without seeing death. over here, then God can rapture us today, because we have two examples of that.
You said that something's true if you have two or three witnesses.
Let everything be a sideways
question. I'm just asking a question. So everything has to be two or three witnesses. Then who is the witness for Elijah and Enoch being raptured?
We have the Bible. It tells us. We have the Bible telling us that.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of people there when that happened.
His helper was his right-hand man.
Yeah.
Right-hand
okay.
Man,
now, Elijah means God is God.
Yeah.
What does Elisha mean? What does Elisha mean? Elisha?
Yeah.
Elisha? Ish.
El-ish.
El-ish.
And the others?
Man of God.
Yeah.
Man of God.
The other prophets were along.
So we have God as God. Now we have man of God. Okay? By the way, Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He wanted a double portion. Okay? All right, let's go.
Wait a minute, Jim. You hit me something and I couldn't get it in my mind fast enough. You said the Bible, not to worship the Word, but how did you put that? That the Word is to help us.
Help us worship God.
Yeah.
We don't worship the Word. I mean, I have great reverence for the Word. People worship the Word before they worship God. You can find some half heathen out there that wouldn't step on a Bible, but he don't believe it. The Bible is the stepping stone to God. It explains to God to us. All right. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses, as the law says. How many Gospels are there? Four. We have three synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then we have John, which is an oddball. Okay, we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we have John. Okay? All of those are to a certain people. All right? A person group. Matthew is to whom? The Jewish. And it represents Jesus as the King of Israel. Mark is a servant God. How many flags flew around the tabernacle? How many flags were out there?
12 tribes.
No, how many flags were out there? Four flags represent the four Gospels. Four Gospels, four witnesses. All right?
So Mark was for who?
Mark was a servant. He was a servant. He was the son. He was a servant. God, our servant. Okay? He was our servant. Okay, Luke, the Son of Man. Luke was a doctor, wasn't he? He was a doctor. And that's what we call, he is our expert witness. You know, when they call in an expert witness, he's an expert witness. Luke was an expert witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not only a doctor, but he was a physicist and a scientist of his day. And of course, John, the reason why John is there is to tell us that God was among us. Jehovah became human in the human flesh. He walked in the human flesh. All right, four and one. Four and one. Fourth chapter. The example of Abraham. T. That one's real easy, isn't it? Anybody not read T? Okay. And then Un. Aruman. Yurekene. All right. Abram. Tom. Propatora. All right. Hamon. Kata. Sarka. There ought to be a lot of things in here. All right. What therefore shall we say? First person to or future indicative active. To have found. Eureka. They used to say that term. Eureka means I found it. And almost every state's got a Eureka in it. Eureka, California, Eureka, Nevada. Eureka this and Eureka that. I found it, is what it means. Eurisco is where it comes from. Perfect infinitive active. To have found Abram. Abram. Abram had two names, didn't he? Abram. 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 That was his first name. Abram. What's Abram meant what? Huh? Exalted Father. Exalted Father. Okay, exalted father. Abraham. 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 Exalted father of a multitude. All right. His name was changed. Now, in Greek, it's Abram, like his name was before God changed it. By the way, what letter did God add to his name? The word Jehovah's got two of them in it. Hey. God added two of them. By the way, say, hey. Hey. That takes breath, doesn't it? That's life. So what did God add to his name? Huh? Life. Breath. And we have two of those in the name Yah. Alright? What letter did God add to Sarah's name? Sarai and Sarah. What letter did he add to it? Hey. Life. All right. Think about that for a while. In languages, you can find a lot of things there. It's like looking in mathematical formulas. All right? 4:1. What therefore shall we say to have found Abram, the propatoros, the forefather of us? And back then, we called the forefathers, we called them patriarchs. Come, patriarch means first father. All right, patriarch is first father. In Latin, it's pater familias, the father of the family, pater familia. All right, the forefather, the father of the family of us, according to flesh. Now, the Jews could name Abraham as their father. So can we. We can sure do it. Do you know something? God did this in a mysterious way. If you want to really get into a study, go back on the website, discovertheword.com, or Sermon Audio, and go look and study those first 41 classes that I did in Genesis. That's probably, people have said that's one of the greatest things they ever did was teaching the book of Genesis from Hebrew. All right? Beautiful. We studied about the history of mankind, the population of the world and everything, the vision of the earth, the languages, all of that. And that. Abraham had how many wives? How many wives did Abraham have? How many? How many wives did he have? He had three. Who was the Shemite? Sarah. Who was the Hamite? Hagar. Who was the Japhethite? Keturah. A Hamite, a Shemite, and a Japhethite. What do you know about that? What do you think about that? Of all the three races. Now, Abraham is the father of all the three races. And he's the father of the faithful. The Jews have nothing on the Gentiles in all reality. Matter of fact, the Gentiles have that on the Jews today because they are not children of Abraham. When the Jews were out there and they were contesting with Jesus, Jesus said unto them, "Do not tell me that Abraham's your father, because I could raise up, God could raise up children from what?
Stones."
What do you think about that? Wonderful thing. All right. What there shall we say? Abraham, the forefather of us, according to the flesh. He was. John 1:14. He is our... Now, Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. He is a descendant of David. And not only that, but what two Gentile women were in the lineage of Jesus? Rahab the harlot. And Ruth the Moabite, guess what? We're there also. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just absolutely wonderful? Let's do another verse.
So you're saying, both ways here, Jim, for mine is still this flip box. You're saying that each one of Abraham's wives was a descendant from each one of Noah.
Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's right.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Now.
You go back and you study those 41 chapters. Brother John, did you like those classes, those 31 classes that we did in Genesis? Did you learn a little bit there?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. That'll cram more stuff in your head. It'll make it spin.
Mine just
will spin. It's spin. Agar. Abram. Ex Ergon. Edai Edikai Uthe. Eke. Coxema. Allah. U. Prof. Theo. For if Abraham out of works, he was justified. Look at that. For since Abraham out of works, he was justified, he has bragging rights, but not prof. Theo, but not toward God. The rabbis had a doctrine of the merits of Abraham, who had a proclivity of credits to pass on to the Jews. Does this sound a little bit like Catholicism? Indulgences? All right, the indulgences. All of the... When the Catholic Church canonizes a saint, that means that they did more than they needed to get to heaven. That's works, people. And the Jews said Abraham did more than he needed to get to heaven. So he had a surplus of his works. Is that what it says here? No. No, it doesn't. Abraham deserved all the respect from men that came to him, but his relation to God was a different matter. He had no ground for bragging or boasting at all. Yes, Abraham believed God. But Abraham was an ungodly buzzard too, wasn't he, sometimes? He sold his wife twice to another man.
Hey, I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Got rid of her, didn't he?
Yeah, a little cash.
Then he was out there fooling around with her. He says he saw her having sexual relationships. Remember, it says that he saw her having sex with her Abraham, and then the fellow that he sold her to said, Buster, she is not your sister. I know now that she is your wife, because you were taking her to wife out there in my eyesight. I know that. Well, he got in trouble. Well, we're going to start at verse 4 and 3 next week. 4 and 3. All right. Are you learning something from this? Is this good stuff in here? I've taken a little time. I've been trying to cover some ground, but there's some stuff there that you just got to see. You know, we just don't study just grammar and Greek only. We're studying the Bible. All right. Let's go out and do something eternal. Do you have any questions before I turn you loose on the world?
A thousand, but we ain't got time.
All right. Brother John, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, thank you for your word tonight.